Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just told Bulldog this, so sorry to be repetitive. Evan Abrams from the Action Network, who used to do our show on a regular basis, had this yesterday. The last time both the Lions and Cowboys on Thanksgiving won and covered was 1994. That's a Bills game. The Bills were in Detroit. Dave Craig, throwback uniforms, and they lost. It was a flea flicker. Detroit beat the Bills on Thanksgiving in 1994. Wow. That's the last time the two teams both won and covered. It's not that hard here. You got to beat Kansas City, I guess, but maybe that's harder than I'm sounding.
Yeah.
1994. I mean, it's every year.
Wow. I would have been cutting up highlights of that game on giant reel-to-reel tape machines that we had in the sports office at the old WBEN studios for that game. I was working. I wasn't on the air yet, but I had interned that summer and started working part-time and Sundays and game days. I was part of the reason I took the internship was because I thought they're getting the Bills. They're probably going to need people. It'll be a way for me to get a foot in the door. And I was right. Because I was around and like, hey, we need help on game days. You want to? Sure. So these giant, the oldest looking tape recording machines you can imagine. We'd run to it, two of them running the game. And so something would happen that would need a highlight pulled out and put on a little cart, so you have the other deck rolling. And I'm quickly trying to edit this and cut it up so I have a highlight, and then I can start recording. So if something else happened in the interim, they can stop the other machine and pull the highlight off of that.
Wow.
It was tense.
A lot of tension. These times.
I'll tell you.
Tension.
Cut up those highlights. Yeah.
You didn't just have to push a button?
No, there were like razor blades involved.
There were. Sal Capaccio with us now. Sal, do you remember this Bills-Lions Thanksgiving game from 31 years ago? I'm sure you do.
I do. There was a flea flicker by the Lions early in the game they scored a touchdown on.
Yes. That's incredible.
I probably cut that highlight up. I don't remember any of it, but I'm sure I was working. I know I was working.
I was not working.
What Bulldog's talking about, I mean, yeah, I remember being with, like, when I first, like, started, like, being around football coaches and coaching, and some of the film, they would have to splice it like that, the same way.
Right.
Splice that film, right? Like, you're trying to splice from play to play because you're rolling the whole thing, and that's how you'd have to splice the film up back in the day like that. I agree. I'm interested, though. So, 94. So, the last time they won and covered was 94, right? That's what you
both
said?
Both the Cowboys and Lions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because 95, I'm looking at the history. 95, they both won. The Lions won by 6, and the Cowboys won by 12. So, apparently, there was more than a 6-point spread in that game for the Lions over the Vikings because they didn't cover, or maybe the Cowboys were favored more by the Chiefs, but the Chiefs had a good year that year. So I find that interesting. But I also was wondering, when's the last time that the Lions won on Thanksgiving? Do you guys know?
Oh, well, Green Bay beat them. The Bills beat them.
Yep.
I don't know, last year. I don't remember what happened last
year. It's been a while, I'm going to guess, by the way you asked the question.
You know what? I apologize. I missed last year. Last year they won. Before that, it was 2016.
Wow.
You know.
Last year was that Bears thing with at the end of the game with the clock with Caleb Williams, right? Where it was like, oh my God, are you? And then Eberflus mismanaged the clock. That was the game last year. But before that, the Lions had lost every Thanksgiving game before that since 2016.
I'm looking at the 95 games and they both covered. I don't know.
Okay. So he's wrong.
So much for
I don't know. He has some of the best betting data there is, but am I reading this wrong? Anyway, I don't know.
Maybe that was the year, though, 95. I'll give him that because they both did win that year and they both look like they covered.
Maybe it's happened every year for the last 31 years.
Let's just blow up the first 3 minutes of this segment.
All right.
That's fine.
All right. So, Sal, let's talk about Brandon Cooks. We didn't meet up yesterday. Elijah Moore has been released, so Cooks moves in. What could happen as soon as Sunday? Does this probably need a ramp up, or are we going to see, is Brandon Cooks like relevant this week maybe?
He could play. Sean McDermott did not rule out him playing. I thought it was interesting. Sean said that's basically up to Joe Brady, how much Joe Brady feels he can help the offense and be inserted in. For anybody who wonders who makes those decisions and how they go down, I'm sure, you know, McDermott would have to kind of approve of it after telling him, that, you know, hey, here's what I can do with him and all that, you know. But for Sean to say, hey, that's, you know, up to Joe and how he believes he fits in, he did not rule out the possibility. I still find it interesting and maybe even more than interesting, fascinating of like the wide receiver group, even with the Elijah Moore release, which made it, at the time it happened, I'm like, man, what are they going to do here? They had 7 active wide receivers. They still have 6, and they have Gabe Davis on the practice squad, who you expect to be elevated, which gives them 7. I don't know. Maybe Curtis Samuel just doesn't play, and you can just roll with 6. That's fine if you want Brandon Cooks. So there's a lot of ways to do it now. But, you know, what does it mean for Keon Coleman? I'd be surprised if Coleman doesn't play this week, the way that Sean talked about him today. He kind of made it known that, you know, Thursday night was not about discipline. It was about the fact that, yes, he was disciplined on Sunday, and then they played well, and it was a short week, so they wanted the same group on Thursday. But for Sean to say that, if you go next this week and he isn't on the field, he kind of puts himself in a corner, then it's got to be much more than that, right, for saying that.
I agree with you.
I'm just trying to think about out loud how the roster looks here. You know.
Yeah, I would think Coleman pops back in. So we'll see there. I'm just really curious what they may get from Cooks. You know, I don't want to fault them for trying something if they consider themselves to still be in need of something that they're not getting. I wondered about Cooks right away, Sal. The first thing I thought of was how McDermott sounded about Mecole Hardman and his speed. He's very, you know, enamored of having that factor back on, you know, in their wide receiver core. And I don't think Cooks, a lot of the, what I have found, Cover One did a deep dive on all the routes he's run this year, and there's not much down the field at all. So I don't know if that's indicative of what he's capable of, but before I even knew that, yesterday my first thought was, this is Mecole Hardman without the returns. He's not returned a kick since 2016 in the league. So I don't think or a punt. So I don't think he's a return guy. He did a little of that early his first 3 seasons in New Orleans, but not at all since. So I'd be stunned if they wanted to use him that way. But maybe it's just a guy to run the route we saw Hardman run in the first game he played, even though they didn't complete the pass to him. Just someone to clear, you're going to have to cover me, and if you take one guy with me, maybe we'll throw it to you. If we take 2, then maybe we'll find someone underneath.
Yeah, and I like what Eric at Cover One did as well, and kind of how he brought to light the, you know, slants and under routes, you know, a little in cuts, under routes, underneath the coverage a little bit. You know, when you talk about Brandon Cooks, you think about the speed, and he has speed, but he is 32 years old, right? I mean, how much is he really running by guys all the time? And I don't think that's why you necessarily sign him, although it helps, right? I think it's more of the route running and ability to separate earlier in the down rather than later and getting down the field. And that's what hurt the Bills on Thursday. What hurt the Bills on Thursday was that they did not have answers earlier in the down for Josh Allen to get rid of the ball, which is why when he stands back there, he gets hit because he's looking for something to happen. I mean, the time to throw stats, right? You guys have seen it. Josh has had more time to throw this year, and on Thursday night he had a lot of time to throw. But that's not because he's sitting in the pocket.
Right. He's running around, right.
Eating his lunch, right? That's right. He's running around buying time because nothing was available to him early. This offense, and I've said this for a while, this offense, what it lacks is someone to be able to get open early when Josh hits his third or fourth or fifth step and say, bam, that guy is there. And the reason why, to me, they've struggled on the road, especially in the passing game, is because on the road, it's really loud. Think communication. You know, you're just a tick behind. It's just the way it is naturally. And, you know, you get a play in late, let's say, maybe a little bit later. You're in the huddle. You're sticking. Everybody's close together in the huddle. You get out of the huddle. If he wants to make a check, the clock is winding down. Well, when you can't make that check and you got to stick with what you have, you better hope your guy wins. Because that's not the quarterback telling you that guy's going to win. I'm changing the play over here. You got to hope your guy wins. And they don't have enough of that right now. And I think that's what a little bit they're hoping that Brandon Cooks can bring to the table.
Yeah. Well, is there any kind of a postscript on Elijah Moore's time as a Bill, Sal? Like, that was a guy you could get excited about when he got here because, you know, 60 catches, even with lousy quarterback play, like, he's got a chance to play with one of the best in the business. And, I mean, it just never got airborne, really.
Yeah, I thought Elijah did a nice job once in a while to find some zones and, you know, to make the Kansas City catch comes to mind, right? I mean, like, he made a couple of those plays. I think that too many teams, you know, the teams are playing when they play man-to-man on him. I don't think it's quite the same for him. You know, decent route runner, but I don't know if he did enough in that regard. And look, I mean, what? No matter all of that, even if you say, and I will tell you though, Thad Brown, I brought this up. I don't know if I brought this up to you guys or the other show earlier this week, but I did TV with Thad Brown and Josh Reed and those guys last week on Sunday on Channel 4. And Thad said, you know, he actually sees Elijah Moore open more than people would realize when he was breaking down some of the All-22. And you say, hey, you know, it's a guy that's actually made a little bit more open. Maybe he can find him. And that may be the case. But apparently, from what Ian Rappaport reported, when they signed Brandon Cooks, Elijah Moore and the Bills had a discussion because Elijah didn't feel like he was being used on the field enough. And that led to a mutual parting of the ways because obviously now you add another body to the mix. So that's where that goes.
He's open a lot. Perfect. Let's get rid of him. That's what in some maybe this was. Just kidding. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Sal, are the Bills at risk of not having one or both of their starting tackles Sunday?
They are. I think it's pretty much trending that way pretty clearly for Spencer Brown. That was indicated by Sean McDermott last Friday when he met with the media, that Brown and Terrell Bernard would probably, you know, be tough for them to go this week. So you're going to be without him most likely. I don't think there's a coincidence there that they activated the 21-day window for Tylon Grable. So will Tylon Grable be the starting right tackle? Is there enough time for that? He was the swing tackle last year. Or is it Ryan Vandermark? I mean, you could have either one. Now, McDermott was asked about Tylon Grable's availability this week. He said, we'll see. He's a young player we have confidence in, but we'll see about the turnaround and how quick it is to get him up to speed and, you know, up to speed meaning like conditioning and on the practice and all that and being able to get on the field. As far as Deion Dawkins is concerned, he was evaluated for head injury during the game. He went back in. He was cleared. And then after the game, at some point, they determined he had a concussion. So maybe symptoms showed up differently. You know what I mean, guys? How mm-hmm. you know? I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of that, but it can't totally happen.
It can, yes, yeah. It can happen.
It can happen. That's right. So he missed today. That if he doesn't practice tomorrow, that's a pretty good indication he probably won't make it back in time. I believe you have to have two practices in, and one with some sort of pads on. So either way, I think you got to get two practices in. But we'll see. Maybe Saturday can count, but it's trending towards not having him. So what does that look like? Because honestly, one of the challenges here is, I'm not sure if people are familiar with how the active game day roster works and the rules, but you're really only allowed 46, but you are allowed 48, which every team does, as long as you have 8 offensive linemen active. So the Bills, their 8 every week have been Deion Dawkins, Spencer Brown, Connor McGovern, Osiris Torrance, David Edwards, Alec Anderson, Ryan Vandermark, and Cedric Van Pran Granger. They have a 9th. His name is Chase Lunt. He's not been active at all this year. They don't want to make him active. They just don't want to release him and have him get waived and sign with another team. Well, if you're without Spencer Brown, now you don't have 8 active. You have 7 possible. If you're without Deion Dawkins, now it's down to 6. What do you do there? In that case, you'd have to basically have both Grable active and activate Chase Lunt in order to trigger the 48-man active roster.
Well, I don't want to be dramatic, and maybe one or both will actually play, but I'm thinking of the Chargers here, who lost. I mean, the Bills' tackles are excellent, and the Chargers' tackles are excellent. They lost both guys who went to Jacksonville. They had 8 first downs. They couldn't stay on the field. They couldn't function. Yeah. So you're already seeing with their tackles healthy, Allen in a blender all the time. And I mean, that doesn't get better against at Pittsburgh.
No, that's right.
Yikes!
A team with T.J. Watt and what's the other guy's name?
Highsmith.
Heibrich, right? And Highsmith too.
But he's been hurt, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Herbig. Sorry, Herbig
okay.
and Highsmith.
Herbig is who you wanted.
Herbig and Highsmith, and they have 4 guys with more sacks than the Bills' most guy. Like Bosa has 4. They have 4 guys with more than 4, like on their team. They get after the quarterback. We know that. But let me say this about the offensive line and the point you just made about Josh, which is right, Mike. First of all, Ryan Vandermark has been a nice fill-in player when he's been called upon. He played against the Chiefs last year at left tackle and did a very nice job. So I think that, you know, at least you have guys that you feel confident in enough. Mm-hmm. That being said, after the way Sean McDermott talked about Josh getting hit, like when he met with the media after the game and then on Friday, and plus knowing about what's going on with the tackles, even without that situation, I'm telling you, like, I was half expecting to see wide receivers and pass pro drills today, guys, because I think they're just going to fortify Josh Allen so much this week. Like, it's going to be like one guy one guy is going out in the route and 9 guys are protecting your quarterback. I feel like that's kind of got to be the game plan a little bit here.
Wow.
I wonder how much they feel like they could win with, you know, I know you're exaggerating to make the point.
You're right.
But with 2 or 3 guys in a pattern against the secondary, because, you know, maybe there's some business to be done there. I mean, I don't know. I would expect them to at least try to mix some of that in, considering how down they are, if they end up at, you know, Grable and Vandermark as their starting tackles against T.J. Watt and that Pittsburgh defense. I think you're going to have to find out if you can win that way, or they're going to hand it off 50 times.
Well, that's, I think, what they do, right? I think in this game, the Pittsburgh defense has not been good against the run this year. But when they decided they wanted to be good against the run, they shut Jonathan Taylor down to less than 2 yards a carry. Like, that's what they did. Like Miami did against the Bills that day, right? It's like, we're bad against the run, but we're going to make sure you don't run. They did it against the Falcons, Miami did. We're bad against the run, but Bijan's not going to run. The Steelers' defense has not been good in a lot of different ways this year, but teams ran on them a lot early in the year. The Bengals ran for over 7 yards a carry, and then a couple weeks later, they shut Jonathan Taylor down to basically nothing. And that's because they just kind of said, we're going to make sure. So I think that would be their game plan. You know, make sure that you're not going to run with James Cook. But what's the Bills' game plan going to be? Hand it off to James Cook, right? And maybe we see the other running backs a little bit more involved in this game and you don't put as much on Cook and say, we're just going to come at you in waves and use Reggie Gilliam a lot. I think Dalton Kincaid is a very, very big factor in this game. He did not practice today, by the way. But Sean did not rule him out for Sunday, meaning he said he does have a chance. We'll see where it goes. So we'll see where it goes. But the Steelers, they have given up some games to tight ends this year. Fantasy points-wise, I was actually doing this on Fantasy to see how it went. The Bills actually, believe it or not, by a lot, are the number one defense in the NFL as far as defending tight ends. I'm going by fantasy points. I know that's not the best way to do it.
It's close.
But I do think it's interesting. You're right. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are like 6th worst in the league at defending tight ends when it comes to that stat.
You know, that one for me, I have friends in the industry who are into that, like hard. And I just have to admit, I always think, who did you play? And it's going to be both. I mean, it's going to be coverages, but it's also going to be like, did you face Bowers? Did you face McBride? Did you face Tyler Warren? You know, these kinds of things. But there could be something there, of course. Well, there are so many. The Steelers are all tight ends. So we'll see what happens this week.
You were on with Pony. You said Andrew Filippone. You said you were on with Andrew Filippone.
Yes.
We had him on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, Matt Bove and I. And he made a really interesting point. He said the Steelers, they love their tight ends so much, but they don't use them. Like, they don't throw to the middle of the field. It's kind of crazy. Like, and I don't know. I don't have the metrics on that, but I guess that's part of the frustration in Pittsburgh, which is they invested in tight ends. They have tight ends, but they don't use them in the middle of the field like they should. And you guys know Aaron Rodgers' depth of target is just super low. Like, they don't throw the ball to the outside or down the field all that much at all. When they do, it's DK Metcalf. He's dealing with an ankle injury. He didn't practice today. I mean, this game, look at the Steelers injury report. This game's going to be like war of attrition game. Aaron Rodgers, we don't know if he's going to play or not. He can't take a snap under center with his wrist right now. So either he's going to be in shotgun all game, or you're going to face Mason Rudolph. Derek Harmon is out for the Steelers. Apparently he helped in the run game, but now he's going to be out for them. They're missing their left tackle, Broderick Jones. This is crazy.
Seems like a great watch coming up on Sunday, November sweeps.
Nance and Romo, Tracy Wolfson, number one CBS crew.
Hype it up. Not too many flags, refs. Make sure you get that right. Sal, happy Thanksgiving. We will talk again, I guess, next week.
You got it, guys. Real quick, the other thing I want to point out, field conditions will be something to watch. We'll talk about it Friday. I was talking with a couple of guys in Pittsburgh. Western PA High School Championships, four of those games that were played on that field last week. Pitt plays at home on Saturday. Right. Steelers Miami. Bills on Sunday on that field, which they did resod, and it will be a mix of rain and snow as of right now.
Miami at Pittsburgh, right? Miami at Pitt.
It's Saturday. That's a thing. That's a thing there, that field. Yeah, that's right.
You guys old have school. A great, great Thanksgiving.
You too, man. We'll talk on Friday. Sal, appreciate you. All right. Yep. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I mean, this is us next year, except it won't be like high school games and college games.
Right.
What's us next year in the new stadium?
Grass.
That's what's us next year, but they'll never use it for anything, right? Just the Bills. That's it.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't think there's
Section 6 is out. So, I don't know. That's 1 week a year anyway, 1 weekend a year anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Is there going to be a U2 concert?
Why is Section 6 out?
That was in the news the other day. Oh. Like, that was their last year.
That was the end of that. Okay.
That was the end of that. Hopefully that's not permanent. It's what
I guess I missed that. Sorry, I didn't know.
NFL picks coming up. You know, Sal's right. Look at the Bills' schedule. Try to think of tight ends who've done anything against them. Some of these teams don't have tight ends. Miami, twice. Pitts didn't do anything. Dalton Schultz, Kelsey. Hunter Henry, I know I had in fantasy that night. That was like two catches. So Sal's got one there. Picks after the break. The Sabres are in Pittsburgh as well this week. Tonight, even, 6 o'clock pregame here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you?
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
Picks in a moment. The Friday Drive at 5 is brought to you by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com and by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com and by Excelsior Orthopedics Express. They're all in on it. Sideline with a sprain, strain, or break. Get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Thank goodness for these clients, or else we wouldn't do it. All right, picks. That's right. Yeah. What's the score?
You're continuing to lap the field, and by the field, I mean me. 8.5 is your lead. I went 2-3. You went 3-2. I used to keep track every week. I could go through and subtract and whatever. I used to every week put what I, 4-1, 2-3, 3. I haven't been doing that this year, but it feels like I haven't had. I had a 5-0 week, immaculate week. A few weeks ago, I don't remember which week that was now. I think that's the only week I've been above 500 in like 2 months.
Not your year.
I just not having a week 9. I was perfect.
I do not like betting Thanksgiving. I do because it's betting.
Duh.
But I don't because I'm never confident and I feel like I probably always lose. I'm ahead. I just want to get splits. Give me 2-2 tomorrow and Friday. Right. Here's what I want to do. In chronological order, Green Bay, yes, +2.5 at Detroit. Evan Abrams may or may not have had the year nailed down. The last time the Lions and Cowboys both won and covered on Thanksgiving. Still, it's probably a long time ago. And he does have a stat that I'm going to go with. The overtime narrative, teams that play it in overtime, didn't maybe Joe Ostrowski have something like this? And that didn't work out because that was Raiders Broncos. Anyway, teams that play in overtime, short week, look out. Detroit and Kansas City both just played in overtime. Kansas City traveling. I'm taking Dallas too. Green Bay +2.5. Dallas +3.5 against the Chiefs. Although, if, I'm on one of these silly shows that asks you to predict the exact score, I'd be like 27-24 Chiefs. Just like they figure out a one-score win for the first time. Well, last week was the first time. For the second time this season. Dallas is sort of like that. Like they'll hang with you. But I'd be a little bit – I'm picking them 3.5. I mean, I just got to get my story straight. I'd be impressed if they won the game. All right, so Packers, Cowboys. I'll take Baltimore because I always do. -7 against Cincinnati. Burrow, first game back. Maybe Jackson's a little healthier, and that can be something. No T. Higgins or Trey Hendrickson for the Bengals. I mean, this is a 3-8 team, isn't it?
Sure, yeah.
Getting 7 on the road against the, first place.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore Ravens, I'll take Baltimore. I feel like they're a little bit due to just sort of roll in a game. They haven't been doing that.
Right.
And then on Friday, I kind of love the Bears. +7 at Philadelphia. I don't know. Too many of my picks tonight are references to like recent games, Thanksgiving games, when Green Bay won in Detroit. And two seasons ago where Philadelphia beats the Bills to go to 10-1 and then like loses out. Because the vibes are just so not good with Philadelphia. Barkley can't run it. A.J. Brown seems to just hate life. The Bears have been lucky this year. I'll take 7. All right, so those are my 4 pro games. I'll kind of be happy to split. And then because it's who I am, I'll take the Buckeyes. -10.5 at Michigan. That bet never wins either, right? They haven't beaten Michigan in a while.
What is that game doing on Thanksgiving weekend, by the way? Doesn't this feel a little late? I feel like that's usually before now, but I might be messed up. I just feel like for many, many years, my Christmas light hanging day in advance of Thanksgiving would be the Saturday when Ohio State and Michigan are playing. I have it on the TV. I can see it through the big window on my porch, and I'm out there with the lights and doing my thing. And I don't know. It's weird to me that it's Thanksgiving Saturday, but
not sure.
Whatever. I don't. Maybe it's the exact same week, and the weeks are just whatever. I don't know.
I hate my picks this week.
Yeah. All right. Well. Good.
Go against me.
I am.
All of them.
I'm not gonna take Michigan, but the NFL ones. The only one I genuinely, two of the 4, I was going to go against you anyway. I'm going to take the Bengals in the 7 because I'm not sure that Lamar Jackson is all the way healthy and can run and avoid sacks even without Trey Hendrickson, who they should have traded 2 years ago, Cincinnati, but whatever. And I don't know, like, it's only Wednesday. Jackson could get the flu or something, or it's whatever.
He's, writer's cramp.
Just something could happen to Jackson. It, you know, it seems like it's always something. So.
He's got the operation guy going.
Right.
This year.
Right.
Now it's a toe.
Right. So I'm not ready to trust them. I think they'll win the game, but I like the points, so I'll take 7. And I'm going to take the Eagles, sort of inspired by you over the years. Everyone's down on him. The narratives are all bad. Barkley's washed up. Everybody hates Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, blah, 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 blah. I think the Bears have been getting away with it. Almost every time they win, I feel like a rabbit has been pulled out of a hat. So I'll take Philly. Just, I think, a better team and maybe an opportunity for them to sort of, hey, you know what? We know how to do this. I mean, I don't know. Last week was weird how they just could not any longer move the ball on Dallas as that game went on.
I told you I saw it coming. I thought they would lose. I don't know. I just had a bad feeling.
Yeah.
Is the Bears' defense bad? They're just okay. The stats are pretty bad. Because I think that game, I had my turn, I know, but that game might be the best play caller in the league against the worst.
All right. Yeah. Maybe. I flipped the other two picks. I was going to take Green Bay and Dallas,
okay,
getting the points, but I'll take the home favorite in the early game with Detroit getting 2.5. I don't know. I don't know who's the better team there. The Packers are weird. And the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They'll probably win by 3, so I won't get the win, and I'll drop another game. But this is – I did not know walking in the door today that this was going to be my last stand. I mean, we'll continue to do picks. There's games – I'm a pro. We'll play out the string. But I'm down by 8.5, and if I don't – I mean, I guess we could split them, whatever, and then we'll just hold serve.
Fine,
but,
fine.
You
won't be mathematically eliminated.
No, I know, but it's just a long road. I'm going back to the Indiana well, by the way, for college. Minus 28.5, huge rivalry game with Purdue.
The old Oaken Bucket.
There you go. That's what that is?
Yes.
All right.
Indiana-Purdue? That's
yeah.
The old Oaken Bucket.
The old Oaken Bucket.
I think.
I love the old Oaken Bucket.
You would.
I forgot.
I have a
hat that says the old Oaken Bucket. I never knew what it meant. Turns out it's an Indiana-Purdue football rivalry hat.
I have a hat that says everybody snacks.
Someone made for you.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Ohio State-Indiana next week, right?
Potentially, depending on how this week goes.
Oh, that's not like a championship game?
It is not official yet.
Okay.
Oregon's still alive in there. Michigan's still alive as well in that.
Oof, stop.
I know it's sad.
I hate to hear that.
Oh, I would love the chaos of a Michigan win over Ohio State.
Oh. It would be 5 years in a row.
No.
5 years in a row.
That would be so
sick of it.
Tasty.
Why can't Ohio State and Michigan ever be normal and like take turns winning? They each have to go like a decade beating the other one, and then it flips. Come on over there. The Bears have 16 interceptions. The Jets have 0.
Do I? And maybe one takeaway all year? They have like a single fumble recovery or something? No, it's just they had no picks. Sorry. I don't mean to muddy up the waters.
They have one takeaway.
That is it. Okay. They have one fumble recovery and no picks. That's amazing. Who is the Michigan coach?
Lloyd Carr.
Sharon Moore.
Do I have a problem with him?
He was on Harbaugh's staff. He was the interim guy when Harbaugh was suspended for a little while.
All right.
He's fine.
Because I don't know how you are. When you don't watch much college football, I don't think.
I don't.
Zach, I know you do. Watch a ton of it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week,
I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Curling's on, usually.
I am almost always, it's like, how do I feel about your coach? And Ryan Day...
Oh,
I just want to, I don't want to just hit him in the face with a shovel. I want to have shovels.
Oh, no.
I want to have shovels, like spade, not snow shovels. I want like the old school spade type shovels in either hand. And I want to go like Whirly Bird helicopter, just whacking him repeatedly with the shovels. I cannot stand Ryan Day.
Why?
His face.
Is it the beard?
The beard?
The beard does not help.
Everything about him.
Went after Lou Holtz, weirdly enough, like 2 years ago.
I'm just not.
I've done that. I'm a big no on him.
But I probably could, you know, find ample reason to hate the Michigan guy if I like spent two seconds thinking about it.
I think it's so easy to hate every college coach.
I just can't. It really is. Who would I least like to punch in the face? Go your team. When I sit down on a Saturday
apparently
afternoon.
Apparently you love Indiana's coach.
I do like Indiana's coach. Because he's not been there long enough for me to hate him.
And he did the thing where he didn't leave. Like he decided to stay at Indiana, which everybody loves that.
Yeah.
Which enjoy that, by the way. Enjoy Bloomington for the rest of your life.
By next year, if they're a power again, I'll hate them. But for right now, Indiana, they're my darlings. Go Indiana.
Man,
all right, there's picks. Some
picks there's picks, you. All right. Picks for you. The Jets have one takeaway. That's still the best.
That is.
They've played 11 games.
That is incredible.
They have one takeaway. It was against Denver, which they lost to 13-11. That was the game in Europe. By the way, just for your
That's right.
For your knowledge,
right? I remember
your edification.
I remember like really wanting the Jets to find a way to get that. Get that win, and they didn't.
They had 8 first downs. There were 20 first downs in that game. Total. Denver. Making it work.
Get out of here, Denver.
Denver making it work. Let's get to a break. We'll have Sabres pregame coming up at 6. Buffalo at Pittsburgh tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Happy Thanksgiving. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.